WPFW, Washington.
Good evening, Washington, D.C., and America, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Join the fray as we broadcast live from the golden studios of WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica. Join Terry, Mark, and Garland as they boldly go where no commentators have gone before to inform, even save the nation with wit, wisdom, and sagacity on the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening, America. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine, sitting here with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry DeCaster.
Hey, yeah, turn that mic on. I'm hot.
We are the Raucous Caucus, and welcome members of the Raucous Caucus listening at home on WPFW. We are, of course, here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. We are live in studio tonight, so if you want to call in and comment, it's easy to do. Just pick up the phone and dial 202-588-0893.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And gentlemen, I've got news tonight.
Oh my gosh.
News. We're going to have news.
Unlike most of the time when I talk about the economy or politics or
other depressing things,
all the depressing things.
I don't
talk that much about football or jazz.
Donuts. No.
You got bread and donuts?
Bread and donuts. We haven't talked about bat fungus
yet.
No, but we did. We did once fungus. Talk about taxes on cactus.
Right. And metal floors.
That's true. No. I got some personal news tonight, which interestingly enough is, I say it's news because it may be news to some people listening at home. It is actually not news to Garland or Terry sitting here. It's something that I've said many times in the past. Since I was 23 years old, and each time it sort of seems new. Although, interestingly enough, like I said, I've done it many times. So I'm ready. So drum roll, please. So sit down. Da-da-da-da. Okay, I'm gay. All right, so there you go. There's your exciting announcement.
And the world just stopped? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, kept on going.
It's actually Terry yawning.
I know y'all.
Terry's always yawning.
Y'all have known for the past 2.5 years since I've been on the Raucous Caucus. But some listeners at home may not know. And I want to tell you why I'm coming out tonight and talk in general about coming out. One of the reasons I'm coming out is because I think it would be hypocritical for me not to. I'm someone who very much advocates coming out, not when people, are risking abuse or not if you've got some teenager in Oklahoma who's going to get beaten up by his dad. No, obviously you got to be safe. But particularly for people in journalism, people in politics, people who are safe and secure in their environments, I think coming out's a good thing. I think what coming out does is it lets people all around know that gay people exist, that we're all over the place. One of the most fascinating things I find is when straight people say they never met a gay person.
That's right.
Because I guarantee you, you have.
Yeah.
You may not know you have. You may not know you have, but I assure you, you have. And what's interesting, if you look at the polls, and of course we've got in Maryland a vote that's coming up probably in January on marriage equality in Maryland, which of course I will actively support, and I know you two gentlemen will as well.
Yep.
It helps so much to change people's minds if they simply know a gay person. So even if the person next to you who's gay isn't coming out to you, I'm going to come out. You know me. You've been in the Raucous Caucus. And I also think it's important for someone like me who, being gay is just one aspect of my life. It's not something I talk about that often. Certainly not here on air. But
one of the few things you don't talk about.
That's
you talk
true.
About everything else.
I'm talking about everything else.
Yeah, and if you just hold down on everything else, we'd really have something going.
There you go. But see, being gay for me, like most people, is a part of my identity, but only a part of my identity. Just as Garland, being black is part of your identity.
Right. And I'm going to come out about that one of these days, on this show.
I don't know if you risk that. Terry, for all I know, his entire hippie past is something he may or may,
right.
may not.
He's got plenty of
time. He may not want to come
it
out
could
about
be.
There
it.
Is,
could.
If I came out about, my past, I would wind up in so many jails.
The FBI
already knows
the FBI
Terry.
Knows,
they'd be rappelling down the walls outside the building right now from a helicopter.
They've been watching you for some time.
I know. It could it be, Mark, that Terry's really from Texas? And you need
I've
to come
spent
out of
a short time. That's pretty embarrassing,
yeah, that's
Terry.
That's hurtful.
I don't know that you really want to expose that.
I had the displeasure of, as I said, of living in Texas, and I've worked a lot in Texas, and you know, secede. That's all I have. Just secede.
Thank you for
coming out and expressing.
Right. I know that was hurtful.
Yeah, that's part of your past.
Some people are prejudiced.
I'm not prejudiced. I'm aware.
Well, you know, that's the way it works. You know, it's interesting. I've been out for quite a while. I was out when I was working in Congress. Of course, I worked for Barney Frank, and an openly gay congressman, and it would have been hypocritical, I think, for me not to come out, certainly at that time. I've been out on my radio show, The Inside Scoop, and when I filmed for Leslie Marshall. In fact, the only place that my being gay hasn't really been discussed, other than here, is, well, when I go on TV on Fox or MSNBC or CNN, it just hasn't come up. But Don Lemon recently... many of you know who he is. He's a young African-American gay reporter on CNN. Just came out as gay. And there are other people who are, let's say, more, I won't mention their names, but more well-known than Don Lemon, who I have strong reason to believe are gay, that have not come out. And so I want to talk today about coming out, who should, who shouldn't, and advocate for people who are in positions of power or influence that they should come out. Because I got to tell you, there are a lot of kids that are scared, that are nervous. And coming out, I think, is something that helps people say, you know what, it's not that big a deal. Once you say it, once you get rid of your drum roll, now, you know, for the rest of our broadcast, I'll be able to just mention it in passing and it won't be that big a deal. But I thought one time, the first time, you know, coming out to repeat a process, I would do that. So
well, I just want to thank you, Mark, and I really honestly mean that. Because I think it is important, and I agree with you 100% that it's important that people simply acknowledge it, understand it, respect it, et cetera, et cetera. And I appreciate what you've done here on the Raucous Caucus. I consider myself, you know, very, very, very lucky in the sense that, you know, going into theater, I learned very quickly.
There are lots of gay people in theater.
Yeah, that's for sure. And my mentor, I mean, who I just, you know, I mean, I really mean it. The man that, you know, I just idolized this man. I mean, I knew as soon as I was in college with him, and we all knew, you know, that he was gay, and it didn't matter because this man was fantastic, you know, as a teacher and later as a friend and everything else. And, you know, it's always been the positive, neat thing about theater, and I do consider this very lucky. When you're working on a show, it's an extremely intimate experience if you're acting, directing. I mean, you really have to trust each other. You have to know each other. You depend upon each other, whether it's kissing or sword fighting. You know, you've got to be able to.
It's a team sport.
It's a team sport to the nth degree. And you're also, when you realize when you're on stage and when you're performing, you're extremely vulnerable. I mean, you really are. I mean, you're bearing basically the character's soul, to be sure, but also your soul. And, you know, if the audience doesn't like you, I mean, it hurts, thank you. So you're very...
You mean if they boo you in the theater, you get hurt?
I don't know that. They never booed
me. Oh, okay. All right. Phew. There you go.
But because of that intimacy and that honesty that is required in theater, and I'm not trying to put them on a pedestal, it's just what happens in the business. You know, I have been surrounded with, working with, and it's never, ever been an issue. And I've spent all these long years, and it's been a long number of years, just wondering, you know, what the heck is the issue? I mean, why are people, you know, why do they care one way or another? Why does it have to be such a thing, such an important thing to people who really want to misunderstand it? I don't know what
it
is.
Well, I want to address that today. I really do, because I want people to call in. If people are supportive, that's great. If you're not supportive, I'm okay with that, too. Dial in 202-588-0893. One of the nice things about calling, and the reason I did it on tonight's show rather than next week at Ben's, is because there may be people who want to ask me a question anonymously. You know, just give a first name, make up a first name, and you could say whatever you want. I've heard hateful things before. Whatever you want to say, I want to be able to address it and be a resource for people who don't think they know gay people and have some questions.
You know, what's interesting about the issue that you brought up out about coming out, and it makes me think back of the military. You know, this whole military issue, don't ask, don't tell. I'll tell you why. Because what was interesting when you listened to this discussions was a lack of an acknowledgement that there were a lot of gay people in the military already.
Exactly.
The discussion, particularly on the right, was actually should there be gay people in the military?
Right. Or should there be gay people, period.
But the discussion was should there be gay people in the military, when the fact clearly was they were there.
There's not a year the American military has existed there hasn't been gay people.
But they could, But they weren't in a position to come out, number one.
No, it's illegal.
Ruin their career.
Yeah, which is pretty absurd. So I think that when a person does, it helps to bring the acknowledgement to our society that there are different kinds of people and that people, you know, someone, first of all, when it comes to a person being gay, people have certain stereotypes for men and
they
women.
Certainly
a gay
do.
Man is supposed to be like this. A gay woman is supposed
they
to be like that.
Do.
You know, it's almost like they, in their mind, they create this caricature.
That's
and
right.
if you don't, you know, the same thing with being African American.
Well,
or
I'm
whatever.
Just going to exactly
people
just gonna
create
say that.
This caricature of what you're supposed to be.
Right.
And then they expect you to fit. And then they hate the caricature.
Right. Right.
Well, they create the other.
Right.
They create
and here's the interesting
strong,
thing.
Kind of a straw
and,
man.
And you know, mm-hmm. the thing about gay people or black people or Jewish people or Asian people, anyone you want to, Latinos, there's all kinds of stereotypes. Some people do fit the stereotype.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's where they come from.
Yeah.
All right. There are gay people that are very flamboyant, that are, and you know what? I got to tell you, I'm going to be completely honest with you. Part of the reason I wanted to sort of bare my soul here tonight, I think, one I think is to get to know us personally. I think when you hear us argue, you know, economics or politics a lot, it's nice to know kind of who we are.
Our raucous arguments, our sagacity.
So I have a confession to make, which I don't know that I've ever made on air before, but it relates to those stereotypes. When I first came out of the closet, I surprised a lot of people. They didn't think I was gay, and so at the beginning, I had my own prejudices. I'm just going to make this very clear. I did. I was probably more prejudiced against the more flamboyant members of the gay community, the people who, let's say, couldn't hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wrong. And I know it was wrong, and I learned it was wrong, and I have no such prejudices now. But I did. And I did. That was society's prejudice that had been inculcated in me. And it was like, well, I'm not like that. You know, well, okay, I am gay. I don't think I'm particularly flamboyant. I don't use the word fabulous a lot in a sentence.
Thank you.
I had not seen the requisite number of Betty Davis films or whatever. I got training. People said, no, you got to watch Betty Davis. You got to watch Mommy Dearest.
Judy Garland.
I didn't have this love of Judy Garland. You had to learn, like any culture.
Sure, right.
And you go in. And I, at the beginning, when I first came out, I remember distinctly. Almost avoiding the more effeminate, more flamboyant members of our community who happen to be, if you've ever been to a gay bar, they happen to be a minority of our community, but I got to tell you, they're a great minority. Because they are who they are. They're not afraid of being who they are.
Yeah.
And frankly, it is those members who were there. Frankly, it was drag queens who at the Stonewall Rebellion stood up to cops
and
risked death to fight for gay rights when a lot of gay men in the closet who did not dress up and did not act that way were afraid to take on the cops. So I respect those members of our movement. I respect those people. The heart of what I'm trying to say is whoever you are, be who you want to be. Don't let anyone tell you you have to be a certain way. As long as you respect your fellow human being and treat others with kindness, go express yourself. You're a human.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you guys a story, and I want you to comment on it. Something
right.
happened to me recently down that line. I want you to comment on it because I'm going to tell you what I was thinking and just I haven't really reflected on it, but comment on it.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
We will.
A few weeks ago, I'm, you know, the Skins fan here, and so I went down to U Street to watch at our favorite place on a Sunday.
Ben's next door to watch the Skins game.
Mm-hmm. Well, for whatever reason, the music was blasting, and there was a lot of people, and it was hard to watch the game, so I thought, I gotta go somewhere else. There's too much. I can't enjoy the game. And I went up the street.
Oh, you went to Nelly's.
Well, I thought it was a sports bar.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
that's hilarious, Garland.
So I go up the street and I see something that says sports bar. I'm thinking, sports bar.
It is a sports
Perfect.
Bar.
So I run in here, you know, because I didn't want to miss much.
Right.
It was like in between quarters.
Right. That's great.
And I'm looking up at the screen and I'm like, all right, you know, go team. And I look around and I notice there's old guys.
No, there's some women that go to Nellie's.
No,
there's some lesbians that go to Nellie's.
So lesbians aren't in the football.
So I look around.
They certainly are.
Well, some are.
Many of them
are. Some guys came to the door. A bunch of guys came to the door, and they were, they were dressed a little oddly to what I'm accustomed to in a bar.
You're very welcome in any gay bar,
right? So I'm looking around.
That's great,
and I think it suddenly dawns on me, you know, this is a gay bar. And I'm thinking it's a sports bar. So then I see these guys with this, these shirts that say DGFFL, and I'm thinking, that must be DC Gay Flag Football League or something, right?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know what that stood for, but
yeah. And so I see all of that, and now, okay, here's the part that I gotta be honest with you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I look around
at
all of that.
By it, I'll bet.
So I think to myself, oh my gosh, somebody's gonna see me in a gay bar and say, I saw Garland in a gay bar, right? So then I'm thinking, this is exactly what's going through my mind, without even thinking. So then I think, I gotta get out of here. Then I think, well, wait a minute. If I run out the door, somebody's gonna say, I saw Garland coming out of a gay bar! And he was like running, trying to get away.
So how many days did you stay
there? So I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm trapped. So finally, I think, okay.
We have straight friends that join us in gay bars. I've actually been in black churches myself.
Well, here's what happened.
That doesn't make me
finally,
black or Christian.
I actually ran out the door. Literally ran out the door, and up the street I went, and I went back to Vin's, and I had this kind of like, oh my gosh, you know. Now, I say all that to say this. Yeah, it's kind of a funny story to me, but then it kind of shows the feeling that
the
I had.
For just a moment, you understood the fear.
Right. Think about a person who is a professional or whatever and may be gay and may have that fear, the same fear that I had, but they can't run up the street from it.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
I can run up the street and, oh, that fear is gone and it's done, but that's who they are and that's their life and they can't run.
Well, let me give you an example of that, and it's a little more serious.
That's a great story, Garland.
You know, I was talking to Mark about it a little bit last night.
You could come to knowledge with me sometime. Just wear the sign that says straight.
All right. He's the straight guy. You wear a t-shirt with an arrow that says, I'm with the straight guy.
I'm with the straight guy. I'll be happy to wear that.
Yeah. Being in theater flamboyance, I mean, it's part of being in theater,
that's
obviously.
True.
You know?
Right.
And, but my first professional job was in Richmond, of all places, you know, which I didn't plan on. It just happened, and I wound up working for what became Theater Virginia. And, you know, I was probably the only straight guy there, except
there are other straight men in theater.
Occasionally. But, I mean, I do found out later that when I arrived, I was wearing shorts, and the basic consensus was, with those legs, he's got to be gay. You know? But anyway.
I consider that a compliment.
Well, it is. I consider it a compliment, too.
I get you have nice legs,
I've never
noticed.
I'll wear shorts soon. But the serious side of it, you know, I mean, the people I worked with are absolutely great, and they all became very good friends. And there was one young man in particular, and this was obviously back a ways, and there was a group of us that just carried on all over the place and went to bars all over the place, and including a couple of African-Americans and mostly gay people. And, you know, we just had a ball together, so it didn't matter to us at all. We had a lot of trouble, believe me, in Richmond back then. But this one particular
in the 70s,
yeah.
Okay.
This one particular,
I can't imagine.
This one particular guy. It was very, very, very close friend. We became very, very, very close friend. And you know, to be perfectly honest, if I had decided or wanted or was led to be gay, I mean, this was a guy that, you know, I certainly. I mean, he was beautiful. He was brilliant. He was sensitive. He's one of the nicest human beings I ever met. And, you know, I have to admit that I was truly attracted to him. I mean, on every level, and our friendship was extremely deep. And after we finished the year there, we went our separate ways, and we lost contact. His name was Ed. And I was in graduate school, and I'll never forget this. I mean, it still breaks my heart. I got a letter from Ed with no return address. He had been in a mental institution undergoing shock treatment.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's horrific.
I know. He had had it, I think, 25 times. And his point of his letter was, I can't remember exactly how we knew each other. All I remember is that you were very important to me.
Well, that's pretty sad.
Did he put himself there, or did someone put him there?
I don't really know all the details. But, I mean, this person was not a person that in any sense that I would understand would need shock treatment on any level
whatsoever.
That's the
1970s.
Yeah. Somebody probably tried to, you know, he's gay or something, shock him or,
you know. And I mean, I've never been, I really wish I could find him. You know, I can't say his last name because I don't know what his situation is now. I've searched for him for many years because
If you're here, call Terry.
Yeah, really. Yeah, you know. But,
if you're listening now.
But I mean, he was just the most fantastic person, and just heartbreaking letter, you know.
Mm. Well, I got to say, we've come a long way since the 1970s.
Yeah, sure,
we've come a long way just in my lifetime, frankly. I came out when I was 23 years old. Today, I see kids coming out at age 14 and 16, which is unthinkable to me today. I didn't come out till after college. And there are kids that are brave enough to come out in seventh grade. I mean, seventh grade's hard enough. I think those kids are so brave, but it shows where we've come. When I came out.
Right, it's a different world. You couldn't
come out.
There were
no gay people on TV.
You couldn't come out.
There were no gay
grade.
People back then.
That's right. They didn't
that was
exist.
The belief.
There was like
right.
one person on soap, and then there was a pejorative stereotype.
Yeah.
You didn't have Will and Grace.
Right.
You didn't have these positive
Yeah, maybe
models.
Paul Lynn doing Bewitched or
something.
Well,
yeah, or Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just be hinted at. And so it really, it's funny when you mention your story, Garland. Believe it or not, that was my same experience in my first gay bar. And I'm gay. I was so afraid to come out. That
that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to get out.
You're very welcome at Nellie's. We have lots. I'm straight people. I bring a friend of mine there all the time. She loves it. She loves gay men. But anyway, I won't go into. You know who you are if you're listening to me.
And then that's another stereotype there.
Well, she does. My friend. Well, she loves me, and she calls me her Will, and I call her my Grace, and we're very very close. But I was so afraid to come out in the United States. Actually, I had a scholarship to study in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And I very tentatively came out in Europe because I thought, I don't know people in this country.
So
I was afraid of the whole United States because I knew Americans, you know, even a city.
He went to a scientist camp in Antarctica to come out. Right.
The crazy thing is, I lived in Switzerland for a year. Like I said, I had this scholarship. It was great. But I didn't want to come out in Switzerland because I knew people in that country. That's how scared I was. So I started traveling.
If you even knew anyone in the entire country,
where did you go?
I actually came out
Albania,
came out in the gay Mecca, which is called Amsterdam. Amsterdam is the Mecca for many things.
Everybody was high there. The Dutch are wonderful,
friendly, warm, tolerant people. I still have a special love for the people of Holland. They are such great people. And took a very nervous, scared boy, that was me, and made me feel very comfortable and very happy, and gave me the courage to come out in the United States and come out to my parents and come out to my friends and my family and everything. But that's how scared I was.
Yeah,
It's weird. It's like, what was I – you know, I know that was me. But in hindsight, I'm like, what was I so scared of?
Because the stereotype and the damage done because of the stereotype still.
I wasn't even scared of violence. I mean, no, I wasn't scared of violence in Washington.
But
in Nashville, Tennessee,
than anything else, you're scared of rejection.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
I mean, I have a very good friend now who is gay, and he was telling me the other day that. His father accepted it completely and just said, "You're my son."
And my parents have been wonderful, by the way, from the moment I talked.
I'm glad. I really am.
Good but liberal parents.
Yeah, his father said, "You're my son and I love you." His mother was very religious and rejected it entirely and has been trying to change him constantly.
That's too bad.
To the point where they've sort of broken off. But the last time
that mother is hurting her relationship. She's destroyed her relationship.
Yeah,
it hurts her.
It hurts both of them. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. But one of the last times they were together, an aunt was visiting as well. And the aunt and my friend were talking about the Laramie Project,
sure,
right?
Sure.
And
why don't you tell people who don't know what that is?
It's this wonderful. Well, wonderful is the wrong word. It's this painful, painful, painful play of this young man in,
Matthew Shepard.
Yeah,
Who was crucified in Laramie, Wyoming. That's why it's called Laramie Project.
Yeah, right, Laramie, Wyoming.
Literally crucified. On the fence.
Yeah, on the fence and everything else. And I mean, just strictly because he was homosexual.
Right.
And that was it. A very painful play. But I recommend it, also a very good one. Anyway, they were talking about it, and out of nowhere, the mother blurts out with the aunt right there and with my friend right there, a guy happens to be gay. Well, if he was gay, he deserved to die. And can you imagine? I mean,
oh my God!
If it weren't so mutually painful all the way around, you know,
I can't imagine that man ever speaking to his mother again.
Well,
he's not right now.
I wouldn't think so. You know, and how anybody could do that on any level of friendship. Let alone,
the whole idea that to me, the antiquated, prehistoric minds that say, other people have to live the way I want them
living. Like the Puritans.
And
so,
right. Yeah. And none of it makes any sense. It's like the whole business about, gay is a choice and people weren't, you know, and I sit there and I listen to these, you know, the right wing people. Well, being gay is a choice and they can make a choice otherwise. And I think to myself,
wouldn't they make the easy
choice? It's a lot easier to be straight.
I think of something and I think to myself, the guy that's saying that has to be bisexual.
Right. For bisexuals, it is a choice.
I was
about
to say, because I was born heterosexual. It's not a choice for me. I can't wake up one day and say, I want to go this way or that way.
Exactly.
I happen to be heterosexual.
Yeah.
And therefore, knowing that's me, then I would assume that a person who's straight, I mean, so who's gay, wakes up the same way. That's who they are. So if anyone who says, I think it's a choice, he's telling you, the way he sees it.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
My
there you
thing
go.
Be, yeah.
Or
individually.
Yeah.
For me, it's not a choice. For this guy over here that's gay, it's not a choice. For you, it is a choice. They've got a word for that.
Well, that's true.
It's called bisexual. So don't try to convince me that it's a choice.
Right.
I believe you.
Let me say a word on behalf of one of my best friends, by the way, who actually lives in Wyoming, interestingly enough.
Brave man.
First of all, she's a woman.
Oh, she's a woman.
And secondly, she's black, making her one of the three black people in Wyoming.
And the other two are truck drivers who are driving through.
Yeah, and one of the two gay people in Wyoming.
Exactly.
According to
anyway. Well, she happens to be bisexual. Mm-hmm. And she wants, and in fact, she's such a great scholar. I met her in college, and she's really, really helped me understand the difference between sexual orientation, between sexual identity, you know, gender identity, and sex. I mean, you can be a very masculine woman, or a very masculine man who wants to be a woman who's straight. I mean, those three things don't have to go together.
Right.
Masculinity, femininity is one scale. Who you're attracted to is another scale. And the third is who you see yourself as. And people sometimes confuse those three. And, and of course, they're very different. And I certainly think that transgender people deserve all the respect and fair treatment in the world. I like being a man. I don't want to be a woman. Very happy with my gender. But some people are not. And they can be of any sexual orientation. Anyway, but Cynthia is bisexual. Oh, I said her name out loud. Oh, I just said her first name.
She's in Wyoming.
I'll give her a tape. That's okay. Yeah. I just said her first name. She's a very good friend of mine. Anyway, she tells me, and I love the way she put this. She said she doesn't understand straights or gays. She says, if I'm in love with someone and I think they're really special, what do I care what, you know, body appendages they have? I love this person. And I thought, wow, you are a higher order human being than we are.
Yeah.
All we, you know, we gay and straight people who are attracted to only one sex, whereas, you know, she's attracted to the whole world. And she was with her partner, a woman, for about 8 years, and they broke up. And she's been with her current husband now for 10 years or so. And
well, I think she brings up a good point. You know, I really have come to the conclusion, and again, you know, I've had the association for decades, frankly. You know, there's all there is really is sexuality. And it manifests itself in a whole lot of ways, you know. And for anybody to define your sexuality or my sexuality and how I want to express, you know, as long as I'm not hurting anybody, you know, I mean, it's just unconscionable. I mean, how dare you? Why would you? Why would you assume you have the right to define my sexuality?
Right.
I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the thing is, you know, people are actually, it's actually people expressing, you know, anger at people because they're gay or different than them. And this is the way I've always looked. There's only two reasons in this world to be angry at people. One, because someone won't do because what you want them to do. Or two, because they're doing something that you don't want them to do. The hub of the two things is you are involved.
Right. You have to be taught to hate.
I live my life the way I choose to live my life. What, I don't understand the concept of looking at another person who lives their life. They're happy. They're doing what they want. They're living the way they want. I don't know. You know, I have no idea what's going on in their head, nor is it any of my business, and saying, you, Terry, or you, Mark, or whoever this other person is, you're not meeting my expectations of what you should do based on your gender, or you're a black person, you're not eating the right food, or you're a white person, you're not saying the right thing, or you're not living in the right community. You know, the whole idea of being anti-gay or whatever is looking at other people saying, you're not meeting my expectations in life, and it's absurd.
It's absurd, and it's extremely widespread on all different kinds of levels.
Well, we have to take a break. I also want to give our listeners a chance to call in, because I want to answer your questions. If you want to address it to Terry or Garland, that's fine as well. If you have problems, if you wonder why I have to discuss this live on the air, whatever your issue is, let's talk about it. 202-588-0893. We'll be right back after this.
What does support of WPFW mean to you? Preservation of America's classical music, jazz, and all its extensions. Alternative news, views, and analysis not covered in mainstream media. Holistic health shows that explore a natural approach to medicine. Why do you support WPFW? Here's the answer in a nutshell. We contribute and you contribute. We contribute to your life and your community with programs that inform and entertain every day. That's our contribution. Visit us online at WPFW.org right now with yours, or simply call the membership hotline at 202-588-0999, extension 344. That's 202-588-0999, extension 344. Thanks.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine with
Terry D. Kester
and
Garland Nixon.
And we are the Raucous Caucus, and you are the Raucous Caucus too, if you believe in discussing progressive ideals and being raucous about it. I have given my coming out story, and I really want to encourage people to call in at 202-588-0893. I think some people are afraid of this topic. I got to tell you, normally we have our lines completely full.
Yeah.
And this is certainly an issue that lots of people have thought about. I know it's not something that's obscure.
Yeah, it's funny the word you use, fear, because I thought about that when I gave you my Nelly story where I accidentally ran into a gay bar, right? And I got in there.
Which is a great bar, by the way. I just, not to give a plug for them, but anyone who's in Washington and wants to go to a good bar, it's a good place.
But when I went in there, the funny thing was about it was this. I've always been a person. I can go in any crowd. You know, if I'm the only black person for 1,000 miles, I don't even think about it. I don't remember that I'm black. I'm just, you know, I've had people say that, say that's weird to me. And I say, I don't think to myself, gee, I'm a black person around all these people. I don't care, you know, and I don't even, it doesn't even come to mind what group I'm in, whether it's politicians or whether it's some guys from the hood. I'll talk to them, whoever I'm around, I'm around. But in this circumstance, I was very uncomfortable and afraid.
It's interesting what you're afraid of. You're afraid of other people seeing you.
Yeah.
You weren't afraid.
Well, sure.
You weren't afraid of people in the bar.
I had no fear of these guys. I had nothing. Right. I'm no prejudice towards them. It was all about, it's in my mind, and it was, the thing about it is, you know how you have something in your mind that you don't rationalize, you don't think, there's just a thought there. And the thought was, oh my gosh, this is my thought. Oh my gosh, somebody's going to see me in a gay bar, and then they'll think, I guess if I pull it all the way out, it's somebody's going to see me in a gay bar, and then they'll think I'm gay, and they'll tell everybody I'm gay, and everybody will think I'm gay, and it'll be like the, what was the movie where the guy said his old music teacher or whatever was gay, and the guy wasn't really gay?
I don't know the movie.
It was hilarious.
Death of a Trumpet Player.
No. That was a great movie.
I don't know the movie.
Okay.
Real quick, Terry, comment, because I want to get to our calls.
Yeah. Well, just wanted to mention, the only time that I've been embarrassed, is I was in New York and staying with two friends who happened to be gay, Jack and Paul. And one night we're going to go out, do a little drinking and carrying on. And they invited this friend of theirs who would be the fourth person. And so, that would be the person that I would be sitting on the side of the table with and all that. And it was this guy, and he was a great guy. And I happened to have time in this beautiful black leather coat. I mean, I just really loved it, a long black leather coat. And I had on black boots, and that was it.
The stereotype is that gay people have style, but I never fit that stereotype because I have no style, and I get criticized for it. I get persecuted by my own community for my lack of style.
You're out with three gay guys, and you have an all black leather. Okay.
Yeah, so I had the black coat for a long time. Anyway, so we're walking down the street to meet this guy. I can't remember his name, and he arrives, unfortunately, in full Nazi regalia.
What?
Oh, my God.
In full.
Why?
Because it's what he wanted to do. I don't know. He wasn't
all right,
a Nazi.
I take back what I said about expressing yourself.
There are limits to expressing yourself.
Exactly. I was so embarrassed.
If you want to burn a cross, don't. Yeah. No, I have some limits.
A KKK uniform to walk down the street.
That would be a bad... Halloween or something?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, my God.
I was
God,
so
that's,
embarrassed.
That's
I mean,
crazy.
I still went out with him and, you know, had a great time that evening. He turned out to be a great guy.
Why would he do that?
Because New York. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But that was one time I thought...
You're going to give people all the wrong impression. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I know thousands of gay people. I've never met one that wore a Nazi uniform. So Terry finds the weirdest person.
Terry's got on a black stormtrooper's outfit, standing next to a guy in a Nazi uniform.
Oh, my God. Terry, that's a terrible story.
It was an embarrassing evening.
You're walking the wrong part of Brooklyn. You guys are going to get the crap
that
out of
that. That is terrible.
It was Manhattan. It was Manhattan.
Okay, you hit Manhattan.
I'm not going to comment on that. I don't want to think about it.
I was embarrassed. That's all I want to know.
That's a great story, Terry. That is a story I won't soon forget.
That is not a good story. Let's go to, I think the name is Black. I hope I pronounced your name correct. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's correct. That's a hell of a story you got there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one there.
What do you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, I just want to comment on basically, well, I mean, I happen to be a gay black male, and, I'm not going to run around in Ku Klux Klan regalia.
I would hope not.
Thanks.
I would hope not.
Please don't.
No, I just don't think of it as a big portion of my, I mean, it's one component of my identity. It does not define me.
Exactly.
It's never been one of those types of things where I've been, I don't know, maybe I just didn't really, I never considered it such a big deal. I really just haven't.
Can I guess, and you don't have to say if you don't want to say, but my guess is that you are in your 20s or maybe 30s at most.
30s, yeah.
Okay. Well, but the point is that I think it's generational. Mm-hmm. I think if you were in your 60s, you would think it's a heck of a big deal and you would have been, punished a lot for it.
If he's black and he were in his 60s, he would be in a lot of bad situations to begin with.
Well, that's true.
So, but the thing I'm trying to get at is basically, it's probably generational, but I think that it's different with some people, though, because...
That's true.
I'm not really big on labels, but the reality is I think that some people come into that realization differently. Me, personally, it was just one of those types of things I always knew when I was a little boy. So it was never like I was sort of like conflicted with it or trying to like watch them weigh my sins or something. I never went through that crap. I mean, that's just...
If you don't mind my asking, and you don't have to answer any of these questions, but I assume you came out to your parents. If so, I'm curious to know how old you were when you did it.
I was like in my late teens, but my parents are pretty much new. I mean, my father pretty much knew. So it was, I mean, he didn't really so much care as well. I think he had like a little heart-to-heart talk as long as they didn't dress up in dresses or something like that.
Right.
But I don't know.
It's a lot harder for people who are transgender, that's for sure. But I tell you, I'm really glad to hear that because we hear all the time about homophobia in the black community. And
it is bad, but the thing about it is, I mean, it's bad anywhere. But
it's bad in the white community, Asian, Latino, it's bad everywhere, but it's not in every black community, it's not in every white community, and so I'm glad to hear your story.
I'm going to be very real with you. I personally think it's a class thing because I think that there are certain... I do. I think the more educated black families or circles don't have as much of a problem with it as like some of the lower class ones do, but that's a sweeping generalization too. I mean, I can just only say in my own experience that the more educated and higher up on the social bracket the black community you're dealing with, the less homophobic they tend to be.
Interesting.
The more educated they tend to be. You know, so
I think you could get rid of. I think you could get rid of the word black before you said community. You know, the bottom line with people, the people tend to be more educated or been more exposed. People, period, of any race.
Yeah,
they have been more exposed to the world tend to be less judgmental than homophobic.
I'm not correct, like cats. Like I'm not. I'm like so politically incorrect to be a gay black male. I mean, it's not even funny. But the thing I'm getting at is that I think that there are some things that hold true, some stereotypes that do hold true. So I don't think that you could just say that there are no commonalities or there are no traits within certain communities. There are.
That's not what I was saying.
But you bring up a beautiful point. I think it's a very important point in terms of class, and it's not just lower class. The economic inequality of this country limits people in so many ways.
Right.
And
one of the ways you're struggling to survive.
Yeah. And
you don't have time to be tolerant, unfortunately. I mean, some do, but.
But, you know, one of those ways that you are really limited because of the economic inequality of this country is, you know, in your educational opportunities and therefore your exposure and your ability to move financially within the society.
Right.
So you don't have exposure to a great number of people, you know, that are all different.
Yeah.
And what I would. And that's a direct, I think you've made a very profound observation.
And what I was saying was not that there's commonalities among groups and that what you weren't saying was correct. But what I was saying is with all groups, not just within the black community, with all groups, people who tend to be more educated, who tend to have a broader knowledge, who tend to have more exposure, tend to be less judgmental of it.
People who get out of their small town and, and see the world know that there's many cultures and religions and ethnicities and peoples and sexual orientations.
I don't think any of the Republican candidates for president know that.
Well, they haven't gotten out much.
Oh, okay. That must
they've
be
been,
that
Rick
must
Perry's,
be.
Perry's never left Texas.
No, he's been hanging out. Rick Perry's been hanging out at his hunting lodge.
Which we won't describe.
Which is an unmentionable name.
Hey, Black, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
One of the things
I also think one last thing regarding that Rick Perry cabinet thing. The racial angle isn't what I caught on to. I think the last portion of that name is what kind of struck out to me.
Head? let's just, all right. Thank you for your call, Black.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Moving right along.
But before you go this thought, one thing I did like that Black said very early on is he said this is a part of my identity.
Yeah.
It's not all of who I am. And listen, there are people in journalism. Michelangelo Signorelli comes to mind, who is like the gay journalist. And he like talks only about mostly about gay issues. And good for him. That's great. There are people who make their African-American their main identity. Jesse Jackson maybe comes to mind. But for most people, it's just part of who they are.
Yep.
It's just an aspect, and it's not, I mean, and again, no disrespect to either Jesse Jackson or Michelangelo Cinderelli, who focus on their communities. But for most of us, it's just, you know, I talk about other things too.
May I use a term? It's just one of the roles. In life, we have a number of roles. The role may be son. The role may be that you're a waiter when you're a waiter. Father.
Right.
The role. It's one of the many roles
neighbor,
that we have in life.
Co-religionist.
Right? Yeah. In this giant play called life, it's one of the roles that we have. And some people take one role and expand it over there. You know.
And good for them. People have every right to do that.
But most people don't.
But
you know what I mean? I'm saying that from the people who view others.
Right.
I look at you for in any number of roles, and I choose one of those roles that you have, of the many roles, to identify you by. You're a talk show host.
That's right.
As opposed to
I'm the guy
other.
Who carries the Constitution around all the time.
That's the role.
I mean, can you imagine, Garland? I mean, if somebody walked up to us and said, "You're homosexual." You know, as if that was something that was really, you know, that was the issue. That's what defines me. I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like I got to walk up to everyone and tell them, you know, what my sexuality is or what my religion is.
And
they're
going to be people
and say,
that
by the way,
say, in the whole Don't Ask, Don't Tell people debate, I heard people say, I argue with people actually on the air who didn't know I was gay, who said, why bring it up? Why is it important? Why even mention
very
it?
Important.
You have, you know, keep these things private. And you know what I say? If people want to keep it private, keep it private.
Sure.
When people show their wives on the mantelpiece, right? A guy should show his husband on the mantelpiece with exactly the same, you know, if a man can kiss his wife on a Southwest airline plane, and some of you know what I'm referring to, then a woman should be able to kiss her girlfriend on a Southwest airline plane. Not necking, but just a modest kiss should be okay.
Before we go to the phones, let me tell you, I was like 19 or 20. One of my very first girlfriends, believe it or not, my very first girlfriend came to me and told me that she was gay.
Really?
And I was like 19 or 20. It freaked me out.
What did you do, girl? I'm just joking.
Listen to this. This was in the 80s. She introduced me to the girl that she was dating.
Uh-huh.
And the girl that she was dating had a crush on me and passed me her phone number.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Yeah, that was a weird story.
No, not really. It just shows the humanity in all its forms.
Yeah.
And the answer is
I'm not
going to
tell
simple.
You what happened after that because
thank
there are people
that.
Who would hate me if I told the truth.
It's all about live and let live. And when we get to the debate,
are we a young man?
When we get to the debate in Maryland, which is coming in January, I cannot understand. I know there are religious people out there. If your church doesn't want to marry gay people, that's your absolute right to do that. That's your church's right. I mean, your church doesn't marry Jewish people, and my synagogue doesn't marry Christian people. You know, so that's fine. But when people say that the law should discriminate. That you don't want these two women who are in their 80s, who've been together for 50 years, to be happy because, I don't know, you're a hateful person. That they can't get
it's
married and protect and see them and see, visit each other in hospitals and will each other. I mean, just like any other couple. That I have a hard time understanding that.
The people I have a hard time understanding it as a church, frankly. I mean, that just makes no sense whatsoever in terms of every Christian.
But you know, I respect people's right to think the way they want in their own
people can think whatever they want. But when they start saying that other people should have less rights under the law than anyone else, that's where I draw
the
line.
That's their building and they pay for it. They can do what they want.
You know,
we've got somebody here.
We have lots of people online. I want to get to you all.
Yes,
let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Love the Rockus Caucus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am a bisexual woman, and I actually did not even know I was bisexual till my mid-30s. So that was kind of a real big identity shift for me. And I do want to take issue with something you guys were saying earlier, which is that bisexuals actually have a choice. Mm-hmm. Because one of my therapies that I did for myself coming out was start a bi women support group, which ended up having hundreds of women in it over years. Mm-hmm. And both from my own experience and talking to these women, I really think for most bisexuals, it's no more a choice than it is for a heterosexual.
I want to be very, very clear. When we say it's a choice, we're not saying your orientation is a choice. You cannot choose whether to be gay or straight or bisexual. I think what they meant about choice was as a bisexual, you can choose whether you want to, you know, be in a relationship with a man or a woman. You're attracted to both.
Right.
But not that your orientation is a choice. You were joking about Nellie's, but you can
and you can't because the point is to think back to Garland, I guess, or when you were young and you had your first crush. It's not like you picked that person out of a crowd and you said, I'm going to crush out on that person.
When you fall in love, you fall in love.
When you develop feelings for someone, you don't really choose that person. It just happens. And it just happens for bisexuals.
That's a good point. That's
every
really good
I mean, it's, for heterosexuals. No.
At that age, I was so shallow, it had nothing to do with feelings. I was looking at the
shape. Well, that's the point. It wasn't a choice.
I think there was a person inside that shape somewhere.
Shallow wasn't a choice.
Yeah, that was, you know, hormones were jumping around.
I think Garland will be the first to say he was being a little flip when he said it was a choice. He wasn't. I don't think anyone really thinks that a bisexual then goes and says, I want to choose to be with a man.
She makes a wonderful point there. It sort of demonstrates the naturalness of this.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to imply one thing or the other, but I mean, this gentleman that I told you about that had the shock treatment, I mean, I honestly will say I love the guy. I mean, there's no question about that in my mind. And there's been many friends that I've had, male and female.
People don't use that word love
that
enough
love,
with friends.
You know,
they really
period.
Don't.
And I don't know why.
Because they're
love
afraid
them.
To.
Yeah. And I don't know why, and it doesn't matter why I love them. You know, I mean, there's an attraction.
I love all my friends.
I've said on the air.
I can't remember whose friend it was who said that they just fall in love with people, and to them they don't really understand the straight gay thing.
Yeah, that's,
because,
right.
you know,
that's
a lot of times it's qualities that you're attracted to and something about a particular person, not necessarily what's between their legs.
Exactly. Right. That's exactly how my friend put it. So that seems to be – and you know what? Let me say what I tell you, Stephanie, what I told her. I think maybe bisexuals have a higher order of sensibility than the rest of us lowly gay and straight people that are only attracted to half the human race. I fully respect that you actually can love someone for who they are and not, as you say, what's between their legs. So I give you bisexuals a lot of credit. I really do.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Because, you know, we have a complex. We feel that the gay community does not understand us.
I love bi people. I am a very bi-accepting gay person. I assure you. I'm actually even a straight-accepting gay person. And if you want to go back to Nellie's with me, Garland, I'll be happy to walk in.
I don't think I'll be in Nellie's anytime soon. But I appreciate the offer. Gotta get over it.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I'll be hanging out at Ben's, man. Ben's next door eating a chili dog, and
I'll go to Nellie's.
I go to straight bars all the time, Garland.
It's only fair.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Stephanie. That was a beautiful call. Let's go to Jim. Jim, welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is the first time I'm hearing this show. I don't know what's it about, but I have a question.
Usually it's about politics.
Neither do we.
And,
take my word for it. We have no clue. So this is, so you understand the show.
Yeah, I was just driving. It seems like the homosexual agenda is pretty popular today, especially with the young people. It's almost like rites of passage.
What is the homosexual agenda, Jim?
Well, I don't want to get all into that.
Is it equal rights under the law, or is it something else?
What's that?
Is it equal rights under the law? Because that is a gay agenda, or is it something else in your mind?
Well, like I said, I don't want to get all into that, but I do have a question. You hear a lot about people who are once straight to turn gay.
Mm-hmm.
or came, you know, I know it does happen. Have you ever heard of any gay people that actually become straight after a while?
No.
I've only...
Never have. I do know, like I said, I have a good bisexual friend who was with her partner for about 8 to 10 years. They broke up, and then she was a woman, and then she's now been with the guy that's currently her husband for about 10 years. But she's bi. She's openly bi. She's always been bi. So certainly someone who's bisexual can be with someone from one sex gender for a while, and then someone with another gender.
I want to know. Is Jim still on you? Are you still on, Jim?
My question was that somebody who was a hardcore gay person, whether lesbian or but not bisexual.
You don't turn.
You hear about like stars who are one time heterosexual. They go out to Hollywood and become gay.
Well, they're not. See, here's the thing. That doesn't. I'll just give you my own case, all right? I'll be completely honest with you, all right? When I first became sexually active, I was only with women because that's what you were supposed to do. I didn't much enjoy it, but I was able to be sexually active with women. I actually thought that I just wasn't into sex very much. I actually thought that's what that was.
Boy, did you find out you were wrong.
I was wrong, right? Once I tried a guy, I never went back, okay? You know, they say that about some other people. No, I mean, I don't think you can change your orientation. I don't believe that can ever happen. I do know an example. There were these two guys who ran the ex-gay movement here in Washington, D.C.
Like Pray of the Gay or something?
They get millions of dollars from the Christian right to try to turn people from being gay to straight. Interestingly enough, they were both found in a gay bar.
Of course. It always works that way.
And to this day, I believe they're a married couple right now.
It always works that way.
But Jim, I'd like to know why you asked the question.
I'm just curious because, like I said, that you hear about people who at one point they just say, hey, I realized I was gay. So I'm wondering if it's gay people who one day realize that they're not gay and they're heterosexual.
It could be. I mean, you know, I don't even want to give.
I mean, if it can go one way, I'm just wondering why.
Well, I don't think it goes either way. I tell you, I had someone I knew in California who was part of a very large group of XX gays. This is a guy, in fact, there are many more XX gays than X gays. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a guy, let me tell you a story. It's a very interesting story. He grew up in a very conservative, fundamentalist Christian family in the South. He came out as gay. His parents convinced him to get therapy. And for a while, he actually was part of the ex-gay movement, until it almost drove him to suicide. And he ended up, in a really, really low place and realized that it wasn't being gay that put him in that low place. It was trying to be ex-gay that put him in that terrible place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and now he's an ex. I'm not talking about those people who coerce and.
Listen, people could do whatever they want to do.
I'm just talking about just like a normal person who's pretty happy, pretty well-adjusted, and just decides this isn't for me.
People could do it. I'll tell you this, Jim.
I was wondering.
People can do whatever they want to do. I think Anne Hesh apparently was dating Ellen,
but, I mean,
and then
you know,
she dated.
There's one element that has to be considered. You know, I mean, to up until very, very recently, you know, to be gay seemed to be, and in many areas was, totally against the culture.
Right.
So it was a lot, whereas to be, of course, heterosexual was part of the culture.
Right.
So there's always been that pressure. You know, on an individual, particularly an individual who may be bisexual, to go one way or the other because of that social pressure.
Well, you know, there was another interesting term that the gentleman used, and that was the gay agenda. You know, and
he said the homosexual agenda,
right? And I think to myself, you know, I don't have a heterosexual agenda.
Right.
You know, I'm just who I, you know, I don't have.
Well,
like,
I sure did when I was a young man.
Well, you're right.
That's another story.
I had a pretty
well, that's why I said,
agenda. But what I'm saying is I don't have like a checklist off of, okay, how this is, I'm a heterosexual, so these are the things I'll have to do. Here's what I think it is. People who are gay or heterosexual, whatever they are, if you call it an agenda, they just want to be left the hell alone so they can live their lives.
Right.
Yeah. Is that an agenda?
I'll tell you what the gay agenda is, and I've worked for the gay agenda. The gay agenda is equal rights under the law.
Yeah.
That's our agenda.
Leave them alone so they can live their lives.
It's the same, frankly, as the African-American agenda.
Yep.
It's the same as the feminist agenda.
It's human rights.
It's human rights.
But I hope...
If straight people can get married, gay people get married. If straight people can serve in the military, gay people can serve in the military.
I wouldn't use the word agenda, but I hope it's bigger than that.
It's called civil rights.
It's called human rights.
Human rights.
Martin Luther King said, this is not about civil rights, it's about human rights.
That's my point. It's much bigger than that, and it should be that. We should be able to accept people, whatever their choices are, again, so long as they're not hurting someone else,
exactly,
you know, consciously or deliberately, you know, It's human rights. That's all it is. It's right. Human rights. It's human.
So the extent that gay people are trying to march for equal rights under the law, that's terrific. Yeah, you know,
but it's bigger than that.
But you're right. It is bigger than that. It's also about, frankly, you know, accepting your fellow human being with all the marvelousness and imperfections
and
that is in humanity.
And the mystery.
And I always say, the more we recognize our own flaws, the easier it is to recognize the flaws of others.
That is true. That's true. And some of these things are actually real joys. Let's go. Last caller, Kelly. Welcome to the Raucous Caucus.
Wow, the time
passed. Hi. Yeah, there is definitely a gay agenda. I'm absolutely for gay marriage. I'm a supporter of it. But there is a gay agenda. If you were talking about human rights, which you just said, then fight for human rights. If just focusing on gay rights, then you lose. You lose a lot of people.
Well, Kelly, let me ask you this. There were women that marched in the 1920s for the right of women to vote.
Right.
Now, there were people, black women in particular, who said, now wait a minute, you know, we want equal rights as black people, too. But, you know, I think we should join everyone's movements. I mean, I think we should march. Right now, they're trying to take away people's rights to vote, frankly, as we speak. They're taking away young people's right to vote. They're taking away poor people's right to vote as we speak.
They're taking away old people's right to vote, too. Senior citizens.
I can tell you this. Gay people absolutely welcome straight people helping support gay rights. I know black people, I won't speak for them, but welcome white people supporting rights for black people.
Yeah.
We should all work for all these rights, but it's not counters human rights to work to help
a group that you happen to belong to.
I'm not saying it's countering it. I'm just saying that it's narrowly focused.
I hear you. Okay, let me say this.
It's very much like the conservatives, how a lot of conservatives must feel, I don't know for sure, about Israel, where if they keep going on Israel, 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 it's like, no, we need... let's get off of that, you know?
Well,
like,
Kelly, let me say this.
The point is made.
There's a distinction. There's a distinction, I think, that, you know, if you are a part of that group who doesn't have these rights...
Right.
You feel it more strongly.
Yeah, and you almost have to.
I mean, Rosa Parks may have been concerned about things other than
yes,
black people in the bus,
and,
but that affected her pretty strongly.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason why they shouldn't. I'm not saying they shouldn't. But there is a gay agenda. At least it just
admits that. It's equal rights under the law.
It's human rights.
Absolutely.
It's an organized agenda.
But Kelly, let me just say this.
Organized, you are. It is an agenda.
Let me just say this as a gay man, all right? I wrote the brief challenging the Florida lectures because I was angry that the Supreme Court picked Bush over Gore. Now, that wasn't a gay agenda. That was a political agenda, you might call it, a justice agenda. I was on Black Talk Radio talking about black-white relations. That had nothing to do with me being gay. I have been in marches for economic equality. I've been in marches for environmental equality.
I'm all for all of it.
And in fact, I didn't come out on the Raucous Caucus for 2 years.
Well, here's the question.
Because I have a lot bigger agendas than my own personal.
Here would be the question I'd have for you. Okay. But would you say that it's wrong or it's detrimental to our society for a person who is of a particular group, whatever it may be, that has an agenda that wants to advance the rights of that individual group that they belong to? Is there anything wrong with that?
No, but if it's to the exclusion of everything else, their priority is first and beyond. I mean, I know a lot of conservatives that are, and they're social conservatives, but they're for, you know, the gay rights.
But black people were pretty exclusive
in what they were seeking in the 60s.
Wait a minute. Just observation.
No, that's fine.
But I mean, basically, I think what Kelly is talking about is there simply is a process, and there has to be that process. You know, there really has to be. If you cannot ever sit in the front of the bus, you know, the first step may be to be able to sit in the front of the bus.
And then you can focus on environmentalism or other concerns.
And then you go beyond
that
but you have to go through that process.
Let me say something about Dr. King, because one of the things I'm very, very proud of, you know, when people praise Dr. Martin Luther King, a lot of people don't even know this aspect of him, is when Bayard Rustin, who organized the March on Washington, who happened to be gay, there were a lot of people in the civil rights movement that did not want him to have a high rank in that movement, did not want, even though he was a great organizer, maybe one of the best in the 20th century, he organized the March on Washington, and they wanted him to have a low profile because he was gay. And Martin Luther King, to his credit, said that Bayard Rustin is my brother, it doesn't matter, I don't know exactly, I'm paraphrasing, but it doesn't matter what sexual orientation he is, and he made it very clear to other people in the civil rights movement that you've got to accept Bayard Rustin, that he's a terrific guy, and it doesn't matter that he's gay. And I'm very proud that Martin Luther King, who absolutely was working for black human rights, for poor people's human rights, early on, way before other people talked was working on gay civil rights as well.
Well, you know what? Guys, we're real short on time. We got to make sure, for one thing, that we thank everybody that contributed over the last couple of weeks to WPFW and specifically to the Raucous Caucus. And we got to promise those people who...
We're having dinner with y'all.
A lot of dinner with y'all. We will get names and numbers and all that, you know, and we will give you calls and we will set up times for that to happen. We have not forgotten you. We really, really, really do thank you.
We do want to thank you so much. It's so important for the capital campaign.
And I
got
to say one other thing real quick, guys, because I know we got to wrap up here, is I am so happy to see people in the streets. I can't tell you.
Oh, man. They're taking to the streets, Terry.
That's right.
Taking to the streets.
They're doing it.
We'll have to do this show from Wall Street. We'll have to do the Raucous Caucus from Wall Street. Listen, I want to thank David Kelly. Right here behind that mic. I'm going to thank Brother Ah, who's coming up next.
Yep.
Next week, we will be at Ben's. Join us, 1211 U Street. Join us for the
7 p.m. Tuesday.
Yeah.
We'll be there. Thanks so much.
Bye.